We're joined by the one and only Red Hat guy, Mr. Larry Roberts, the founder of Red Hat Media, who's transformed from corporate burnout victim to AI-powered content innovator by developing systems that do the heavy lifting while preserving the human touch. Welcome aboard, Larry. How are you, man?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Thanks for having me.
I'm excited for this one, man. It is. It is absolutely great to have you on board. And a lot of our, you know, we run in some of the same circles, Larry. We've shared stages on PodFest and you know, have done a lot of things together. But there's a number of folks that may not know who the Red Hat guy is. And there's like, why is everything red on my screen right now? And if I'm listening on a podcast episode, I'm looking at this thing, everything's red. There's Red Hat and all of that. And honestly, I didn't really know what the whole Red Hat thing was about, but I did want, you know, so I just learned what that was all about. I'd love to have you share with everybody. Why the Red Hat, man?
Yeah, man, it's a fun story. And really, all the credit goes to a mutual friend of all of ours, Alex Sanfilippo. Yeah. He's the founder of PodMatch, so another innovator in the content creation space. But we were doing a talk at the Amalie Arena there in Tampa, Florida. And at the time, I was wearing a Supreme hat. And if you don't know what Supreme is, it's just a lifestyle brand. And I was just trying to be cool. And actually, I don't know if you can really make it out, but it's sitting right back behind me there. On a stand, it's got its own pedestal back there because it's what made it all happen. But I had worn that red hat, that Supreme hat, and I came off stage and Alex goes, "Hey man, good talk," and blah, blah, blah. He goes, "But why are you wearing that Supreme hat?" And I go, "Man, I'm just trying to be cool, trying to relate to the audience, you know, trying to make a good impression, all that fun stuff. Give me just a second."
Sure.
My headphones got unplugged, so... there we go. Now I'm back in action.
All right.
So sorry about that. Technical difficulties throughout this entire podcast. So, but he said, "Why are you wearing that Supreme hat?" And I'm like, "I'm just trying to be cool." He goes, "But are they paying you?" And I'm like, "Well, dude, I'm 47 at the time. And I think they'd probably pay me not to wear their merch, in all honesty." And he goes, "Well, then why are you wearing it on stage?" And again, I go, "I'm just trying to be cool." He goes, "Well, stop. If they're not paying you, don't wear their merch on stage." He goes, but I really like the red, you know, because I'm about 6'3", 6'4", depending on the day. And he goes, "I can see you all the way across the arena here." So that really resonated with me. So when I got home, I tossed the Supreme hat to the side, went on Amazon, bought a $6 at the time. I think now they're up to $13 since I started wearing them.
Of course,
unbranded,
yeah.
Flat-billed red hat. And before long, I was the red hat guy. And I didn't even really understand the power of branding, to be honest with you. Yeah. But about 6 months later, I was at Bitcoin Miami, which is another massive conference, like 35,000 people there over the course of 3 or 4 days. And over the course of those 3 or 4 days, I was there as a content creator. And I had multiple people that I had never met came up and went, aren't you the podcast guy? And I was like, "Yes. How'd you know that?" They go, "Oh, the red hat." And I was like, "Oh my God." It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. So once that happened, I went home from there, changed my LLC, changed everything. Went from my old company to Red Hat Media. And that's where we're at today. So really, I owe it all to Alex Sanfilippo.
That's awesome. And I love hearing that story. And the other thing too is, like, you mentioned the red hat, and it plays so well into how AI needs to be utilized, because so many people are using it. We all have the same tools, right? But who's standing apart? And speaking of standing apart, we've got a comment here from James Hicks, who not only loves the red hat, but he loves your beard as well. The beard game is on point for sure. But this is another gentleman here, James Hicks, fantastic creator, who this is really what it's about for us, is how do we utilize these tools and stand apart? Because Larry, we all have the same stuff. We all have access to this stuff, and we've got aggregators like Magi and Poe and things like that that allow us to use a bunch of them at the same time. How do we generally utilize this stuff and still not be the same as everybody else?
Well, it all comes back to establishing a personal brand, and you can have all the tools in the world, but like your point there is that if you don't have a brand and you don't stand out in some way, shape, fashion, or form, then you're just going to continue to blend in. So regardless of the tools, regardless of AI or whether it's traditional content creation, you have to do something to stand out. And, you know, I do a lot of work with thought leaders, especially here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. And I always say there's three things that you need to stand out as a thought leader in your space. You have to have a podcast, you have to have a book, and you have to get on stages. And AI can help us do all three. And I use AI on a regular basis to do all three. You know, I wrote my book called Under the Red Hat. I wrote the vast majority of that with AI. The only chapter in the book that's not AI written is chapter 3, and it's the story of the Red Hat. So it didn't know the story of the Red Hat, so I couldn't use AI to write that. However, I did use AI to juice it up a little bit and make it sound a little, oh, look at there, you got it pulled up. I love it. But, you know, when I first wrote that book, especially using AI, I got a lot of feedback, a lot of negative feedback. Especially from one gentleman. I don't know if you know who Jeffrey Hazlett is, but he's the CEO of the C-Suite Network. And I was doing a talk here in Dallas, and Jeffrey and I belong to one of the same networking organizations here. And I was talking about how I wrote my book with AI. And Jeffrey stood up and he goes, Larry, I need you to know something. You know, we own the USA Today top 10 bestseller list, and you're never going to be a bestseller if you write your book with AI. And
challenge
that really resonated with me. Yeah, well, exactly. And it's fine because, you know, it is a best-selling book on Amazon, which that's up for debate whether or not it's really a best-selling book, you know. But when we're using AI to generate this thought leadership type material, you know, the goal isn't necessarily to be a bestseller. The goal is to leverage these tools to build a brand and establish credibility. And that book has gone a long, long ways in establishing me as a credible AI, quote unquote, expert. And I'll tell you why I did it and why I did it with AI. It was about a year and a half ago, I flew out to San Diego to do a talk for Entrepreneurs Organization. And the talk was on AI for content creation. And I was teaching them how to prompt. And I mean, this was still fairly early in the AI game. So prompting and prompt engineering and understanding how to use ChatGPT and these other chatbots, that was the foundation of the talk. And it went really well, about an hour and a half. It was a long talk. Afterwards, we're doing a little happy hour gig and everybody's like, hey, man, great talk. I'd love to buy your book. I didn't have a book. So I was super, super exposed. Now, I wrote a book 4 or 5 years ago on podcasting, but that wasn't relevant to this audience. So I didn't have a book that was relevant to this audience. But I did have another talk booked about a month out. So as I'm flying home, I'm kicking rocks. You know, I'm saying, oh, I embarrassed myself. I wouldn't prepare. And I'm like, well, bro, you're the AI guy. Use AI to write a book. So I went home and I laid out the foundation of the book. And actually, I wrote the book in about 3 or 4 days. And I had author copies in hand within 3 weeks. And I went to that next talk and I had a book. So it was the necessity that really drove the innovation on my part to leverage these tools to build my brand and to stand out. Now, the book itself isn't about AI. It's about personal branding. Because, I mean, that's really the foundation of my business. Although we do it through podcasting, branding is really where we're at. I mean, my podcast is called Branded. You know, I mean, it's all about branding. But that's why I wrote the book, because now it serves two purposes. One, it reinforces my branding message. And two, I used AI to do it. So it demonstrates the fact that not only do I talk about these tools, I utilize them on a daily basis to continue to build my brand.
I love it. I love it. And you're not running from the fact that you utilized AI to write the book. And I, you know, I'm guessing, like, you know, who knows the math, but, you know, whatever tools you used to create this book, you didn't just rubber stamp the content. You were reading it and you were going, okay, that works for me. That works for me. You just weren't going blind, like, okay, this is what Claude gave me. and now I have a book, which I think a lot of people who don't understand exactly what that means when you use AI to do something, they think you're cheating. Right.
Yeah,
just like like you're cheating to use a calculator to figure out a math problem, you know, or something like that. And you never ran from the fact, but it's you're just saying, hey, listen, I used AI to do this. I carried the bag. I'm not just a guy who talks about AI. Here's an example, a really good example, a best-selling example of how I utilized AI. We did have your co-host of your podcast, Sarah Losey, was on the show as well. So this, we're double dipping on you guys. We're getting the full consultation here right across the board. So this is awesome.
Hopefully mine gets more engagement. So.
Wow. It's like a little friendly competition between you.
It's always a competition with Sarah and I.
Yeah. Yeah. Florence is chiming in and they're saying, listen, you're already got more engagement already than Sarah. So, you know,
go. I love it.
And talk smack with her when you get back, Sarah, to the office.
Take that.
We'll get right back to the show. But first, I wanted to tell you about the School of Podcasting, the number one place to learn about podcasting, brought to you by the amazing podcast Hall of Famer, Dave Jackson. I'm a member, and it's a fantastic place for podcast courses, a super helpful podcast community, and unlimited, that's right, unlimited podcast coaching. The link to check it out is here in the show notes, or you can head on over to sop.dealcasters.live and tell Dave that Dealcaster sent you. Now back to the show.
No, but something too. I want to continue to build on that, because you're right. I didn't run from the fact or try to hide from the fact that I used AI or tried to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. As a matter of fact, there's about a 2.5 to 3 page disclaimer in the very front of my book that says, "Hey, this was written with AI, and here's why, and here's how you can use the tool very similarly to help build your personal brand as well." So I think that being upfront really changes it as well. You know, if you're out there and you're writing a book and you're not disclosing the fact that you're using AI, I think that's a little shady, and I think that's wrong. But like you were pointing out, Chris, I don't run from the fact that I use AI. Matter of fact, I stand on the pedestal of using AI. And just as a demonstration of the evolution of the acceptance of AI-generated content, what is today? Monday? Is Tuesday? I don't know what day it is. But
It's Monday.
I couldn't even get my camera to work, guys. I mean, it's a rough day. Okay,
can AI help you with your calendar, Larry?
Yes, it can actually. But just last Thursday, I signed a new contract from a publishing company that wants to publish the second edition of my AI generated book.
Congratulations, man!
A year later, now I've got a company coming to me, going, "Hey, we'd love to have you on our roster. Here's what we'll do for you. Here's how we'll make it happen. And yes, you can continue to use AI." So I'm going to knock that out in the next couple of weeks, and we'll see the second edition of Under the Red Hat come out, hopefully within the next couple of months, and we'll be good to go. But I think that's just a strong demonstration of the public acceptance of AI and how AI is going to impact everything that we do. You know, it's interesting. I had lunch today with Mark Hunter. I don't know if you know who Mark is, but he's on the board of directors
for the
NSA. Yeah. Yes, exactly. The sales hunter. So Mark and I are good friends, and we were having lunch today, and we were actually having that discussion about whether or not we're going to continue to see this evolution of AI and how it's actually going to impact content creation. And while we're seeing this massive influx of AI-generated content with like Notebook LM and Descript does a lot of stuff, I mean, there's this platform after platform that will create content for us using AI. I think we're going to get back to that place, though, where people are going to be hungry for human-generated content. And, you know, I know a lot of content creators right now are pretty scared because they don't want to use AI. They want to stick to the human side of things. They want to have those human connections with their audience members. A lot of people podcast just to generate those relationships and build on their community. Yeah. And I think as we continue down this AI path and as we see AI impact more and more aspects of everything that we're doing, we're going to have a draw back to those community roots.
I love that. Jim, yeah, I know you had a question.
Yeah, so Larry, you bring up a really good point, right? You used AI to write your book, which I think is, there's nothing wrong with that. But I also think, right, you talked about how you really help people with branding. If we really think about a lot of the things we do, even what we're doing right here, it's not like we invented, nuclear fusion. But it's a topic that there's a lot of information out there already. But what you're doing by using AI, I feel, is like, okay, you gathered a lot of the, if you want to call it, the fundamentals, but then you put your spin on it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I think it's probably I feel like, do you feel like it helped you remember some things that maybe you would have forgot if you had to do it basically all out of your own, you know, brain kind of a thing?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, from a structural perspective, it was second to none. It made it so easy to organize thoughts and be able to go back and reference those thoughts again. And since I wrote my book the first time, I mean, ChatGPT has evolved so much. Now you have projects and you've got all these other organizational tools here. You've got Canvas, not Canva, but Canvas within ChatGPT that helps you write as well. It's an entirely different world now, but it makes it so much easier. And while I'll use ChatGPT for iterations of each chapter, I actually take everything out of ChatGPT and I personally use Google Docs. So I'll start a Google Doc and I'll write the book actually in the Google Docs. So I'll take the content from ChatGPT, throw it in a Google Doc. And then Chris, as you were alluding to, I'll go through line by line and make sure that while I've done a pretty good job, I'd probably say exceptional job if I was being honest, not trying to be humble, of making ChatGPT sound just like me, there's still phrases and words and those dang M dashes. I can't get rid of an M dash for nothing in the world. I'll say, do not use an M dash. And if you don't know what an M dash is, it's that double long dash that is a telltale sign that ChatGPT wrote this content for you. Now, I have a lot of author friends. And they go, dude, we use those for real. And I'm calling shenanigans. Nobody uses them. Nobody uses them. It's just not true. No one but ChatGPT uses them. So I'll go back in there and I'll take it line by line and make sure that it does sound like me and that it does read like I wrote it and that it is structured in a way that reflects the way that I would write. So you need to have that authenticity throughout the content, and you're not going to get that by a simple copy paste and publish. It's just not going to happen.
Well, yeah. I feel completely verified now that you use Google Docs. Like I thought, here am I the only one with 17,000 Google Docs and I have to search for my Google Docs to find Google Docs? It's like, yeah, I mean, it's just something that works for me, you know?
This guy right here, I'm guilty as can be. Been doing it for years. So,
Well, okay, so we talked a lot about the book stuff, right? But obviously, you're in the podcasting space. You have a podcast of your own. You work with a lot of podcasters. And a lot of the folks, you know, Florence, James, like everybody is doing either, you know, live streaming, content creation, podcasting, whatever you want. If it's an RSS feed, if it's not, you know, we're not going to get into that conversation. They're creating recorded content with microphones that sometimes is on video and sometimes is only on audio. Let's just leave it there.
There you go.
So if you're speaking to someone who the AI is just another pile of mind junk for them, right? They're already a little bit stressed out by which microphone and lighting and what podcast platform they should use and all this other stuff. But they know they also need to do AI, but they don't want to sound like everybody else too, or look like everybody else who's just rubber stamping all this content with rocket emojis and piling it into their show notes, right?
Rocket emojis.
Would you say is like a day one step for people that like, okay, I really need to start using AI for my show, for my podcast, whatever you want to call it. What's that first building block that they need to build on as opposed to doing everything all at once?
Man, you know, producing, if you can't afford to have a team producing your podcast episodes, that's one of the biggest challenges, right? We all know we need to create a ton of content in order to stand out from the crowd. We know we have to slice and dice our long form content into short form content. And when you start looking at it, you know, and I think this is one of the reasons that typically people don't make it past episode 7 of their podcast before they hit that pod fade phase, because it's overwhelming. So what I would recommend is that you use a tool. And I don't know if we can name tools on here. I don't want to
name whatever you want to name. We're beyond the doghouse. We're in the corner of the doghouse. So go ahead.
Okay, cool. I tend to live there myself. So I sleep on the couch. I've slept on the couch for like 12 years now. So, but where I was going with that is you want to get something that will help you streamline your content workflow. Mm-hmm. And at our shop, we are a huge fan of Cast Magic. And I highly recommend that as a first step, you invest in something like a Cast Magic. And what that does, if you're not familiar with it, is you can upload your episodes in MP3 or MP4 format. So you can do audio or video. And it will take that and it will process that episode and slice it and dice it for you into a variety of different content. It'll give you show notes. It'll give you highlights. It'll give you quotes from every participant that's on the podcast. It'll just give you literally everything you need to put together an episode of your podcast quickly, efficiently, and I mean, just with amazing content.
We're going to get right back to the show, but first I wanted to introduce you to the amazing Cloudlifter CL1 from Cloud Microphones. This amazing little blue box boosts your dynamic podcast mic signal for pristine audio quality in just seconds. Jim and I love ours, and you can snag one of these CL1s or new Cloudlifter X's for yourself from the links in the show notes below. Elevate your audio content with the Cloudlifter. Now back to the show.
Wow. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Cast Magic for sure. And it's, I think it's on sale right now on AppSumo. They went back into
AppSumo. Did they bring it back?
Yeah, so I got the lifetime deal on that puppy. And I'm in it every day. Even when I, you know, grabbing old episodes and sort of repurposing, changing some titles up, you know, that are more appropriate where, you know, like maybe 2 years ago, I was just like, Larry Roberts, the AI guy. And that was my title, like, because it just was off the top of the dome, right? And you're just like, sure. You know, and but it's like, nah, I gotta give it some search juice here and really give it a chance to potentially get seen more. It's a powerful, absolutely powerful program. So that's a great building block. So you're like waist deep in all this other stuff and you're talking to a lot of other podcasters.
Mm-hmm.
Who's doing it right? Who's doing AI right from a podcasting perspective, in your opinion?
Oh, I mean, Red Hat Media is doing a really good job.
Okay. I love it.
No, you know, I mean, I always go back to Alex. You know, Alex Sanfilippo is leveraging AI on one of the top matchmaking platforms there is in podcasting.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not familiar with Podmatch, it is the dating app for podcasters where it matches podcast hosts with podcast guests and vice versa. And they're using AI to improve those matches and those suggestions for you to maybe go on this podcast or that podcast. I mean, he's definitely an innovator and an industry leader when it comes to leveraging AI to improve his product for podcasters. I think that's huge. You know, there's a lot of other companies out there that are doing an amazing job. I mean, you can't talk about AI in the content creation space without bringing up Descript. I mean, I think Descript is also one of the industry, not even also, they really are from a content creation, podcasting, editing perspective. I mean, they're the cat daddy. I mean, they're where it's at. So, you know, they're doing an amazing job. CapShow is out there as well. CapShow is very similar to Cast Magic, but they've got some additional functionality that's built in or some different functionality. I won't say additional, but they take some different approaches to the way they do things. Mm. They've always done an amazing job. So, I mean, the list goes on and on. Headliner, if you're not familiar with Headliner, they do a great job at AI generated content for where you take a little quote and it's a like a soundbite from the podcast and then you
audiogram.
Post that on, there you go. Thank you. Audiogram. Yeah, they're great at making audiograms and they use AI for that. I think their AI platform is called Eddie, and Eddie is a great tool and a great resource for helping you create additional content on top of your podcast. I mean, again, the list just goes on and on and on of all these tools that are out there that are doing a really, really good job in the podcasting space and making life easier for content creators.
So a lot of that is post, right? So I know you're really entrenched in a lot of, you know, the structure, organization, utilizing a lot of, you know, a lot of these LLMs or whatever tools for AI to really work an organizational structure or process around a show, around so that when you, your guests, and whoever, you know, whether it's, you know, scheduling something from a Podmatch perspective or, you know, preemptively like coming up with concepts, researching your guests, like is there a workflow or process that you'd recommend for people who are, you know, maybe just sort of struggling as to how they should structure their show with particular guests?
Man, from an AI perspective, there's really not off the top of my head. I can't think of one out of the box that does that job. Okay. And maybe I just need to educate myself more from that perspective, but something like a Make would allow you to build that automation, like Make.com, or Zapier.com. Both of those are excellent platforms for creating your own custom automations. And that's kind of where I focus on more than anything than out-of-the-box solutions, is really designing custom workflows and custom solutions for clients. So I love Make.com. I'm not the biggest fan of Zapier or Zapier, however you say it, but it tends to break all the time. But things that I build on Make, they tend to be a lot more stable. So if you want something that's zero code, that's drag and drop, hey, I want this to happen, and when that happens, I want this to happen, when that happens, I want this to happen, something like a Make.com or a Zapier could be a great solution for you. And then combining that with other AI tools as well, that are based off of triggers that you build into those platforms. That would be the approach that I would take. And I know that that probably is much more complex than most people that are listening right now probably understand, not to insult the intelligence of your listener, but I mean, I was a business intelligence analyst in my corporate career. So automation and program analysis and writing programs and that sort of thing was, well, I can't write code for squat, but I can write specs. So I'm that guy that goes between, I'm good with people. So I would go between the programmer and the end user and find out what the needs are from both, and then write a document that says, hey, Mr. User, does this look like what you need? Yes. Mr. Programmer, is this the technical spec that you need to write the program? Yes. So that's what I did. I do tend to over-technicalize things. I don't think that's a word, but that's what I do.
Why not? Let's make it that today.
That's right.
Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Yeah. So Larry, Chris Kermitzos Podfest, there's a lot of talk about how podcasting is becoming more video, but where you still have some people that maybe are into the audio thing, do you think, have you seen a lot of people say taking their audio and with these tools out there, turning some of that into video clips that maybe aren't necessarily them, or maybe they have someone like Chris Sohn that figures out ways to do that. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think they should be more original and use real video and use AI for other things?
Well, it's funny, we were having that conversation today as well, because of all of the faceless AI-driven YouTube channels that are popping up left and right. And I think while it's cool right now, everybody's excited about it, and everybody thinks it's the next greatest thing since sliced bread, I think we're going to be inundated with it. And eventually, just like anything else, we're essentially going to ruin the tool, and we're going to be looking to get back to the traditional content creation space. Speaking of Chris Kermitzos and Podfest, as you know, I'm the editor-in-chief of the Podfest Messenger, the newsletter for Podfest. And here we are. I'll give you a little preview. The lead story on this week's issue of the newsletter is, do you really need video for your podcast? And in that article, the answer is no.
Mm. Yeah, I think for a lot of people, we talked about this earlier, it's just another speed bump in their process. So if doing video stops you from creating, like, that you don't have to do video, right? So and I think that's, until you're comfortable with it. Now, if you don't do video, are you potentially missing out on getting found? If you put something up on YouTube that isn't technically a video, is it going to get any traction? Maybe not. But if you're not doing anything at all, that's worse. Right. So
it's a lot worse. Yeah.
And so I think a lot of people, when they see that, and I think another perspective is, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, Larry, is, since we deal with this all the time, we wake up and we're in it, and then until we're not, and then we go to sleep, we think we have this curse of knowledge that there's way more people doing this than there really are. And the fact of the matter is, not only are there less than you think, but it's less amount of people doing it consistently over and really doing it well. So if you can just think about it like that, like, this isn't a big of an ocean as you think this is. You do have an opportunity to find that seam. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're spot on, and I love the phrase curse of knowledge. The curse of knowledge has ruined, I'm nearly 53, and the curse of knowledge has ruined so many things for me over the years. And I've often said that ignorance is bliss, and sometimes I wish I would just stay ignorant. But yeah, man, I people look at YouTube and they see all these billions and billions of videos. You know, what is there, a billion videos being uploaded every day? And they're going, oh, there's no space for me. Well, guess what? All those billions of videos, they're not going to your audience. You know, maybe couple of them are, but the vast majority aren't going to your audience. I mean, there's everything you can imagine. I can't even begin to start a list of videos on YouTube. But did those videos represent you, your brand, your business, your audience, your goals? No, it doesn't. So to be intimidated by the fact that, you know, how many podcasts are there now? I think last time I don't know, 4 million total, is what I heard.
Like, you just, even if there's one, I don't know.
I don't know. Last I heard 3 million? A little over 4 million. But at the same time, what most people don't understand is less than 20%, actually closer to about 18% of those are active.
That's
meaning that they've published an episode in the last 60 days. So,
which is not very active at all.
That's not very active at all. One episode in 2 months, you're not doing anything. You might as well just stop because you're not going to make any impact whatsoever. So keep that in perspective. You know, again, you see all these billions of videos being uploaded to YouTube, but what are they? Where are they coming from? Why are they being published? I mean, honestly, right now, I think that this month is YouTube's 20th anniversary. They just turned 20 years old. Mm. And if you're not aware, the very first YouTube video that was ever uploaded was some guy with an elephant. I think he was at the zoo showing an elephant, right? Yeah. So who cares? You know what I mean? Now, granted, that video was epic because of the fact that it was the foundation of YouTube. But keep in mind, that's probably the vast majority of the videos that are being uploaded on YouTube. Some cat at the zoo or you know, who cares what it is?
Right.
Don't be intimidated by the numbers. Understand your goals, understand your audience, and understand the impact that even just creating content on a weekly basis, understand the impact that that's going to have on you, your goals, and your brand. And in the long run, I mean, if you're doing this from an entrepreneurial perspective, your business, it's huge. Don't use numbers as an excuse not to act. You know, it's almost like inaction out of fear. Don't be afraid of the numbers. They're not coming after you. No one cares. Just create the content and do it. You know, and Chris, I can't let this episode go without recognizing your Pride t-shirt. I mean, bro. Pride
like
never
that.
Die, baby. Yeah,
that's
for real.
Right. That's
it's
right.
It's so funny because right now in my UFC shopping cart, there's the classic, it's a tan Pride hoodie. And I'm like,
oh, nice.
I almost pulled the trigger on it last night. It's $54.
Dude, I have
do I want stacks, the hoodie that bad?
Stacks and stacks of VHS tapes.
Dude, I do too. I've got a whole closet. I've got every Pride there ever was, and I recorded them live. I recorded them myself.
Yeah.
Dude, Pride night was always the best at my house. It was amazing. Woo!
Jim, do you know what Pride is?
Well,
I mean, not the month of June.
I'm thinking it must do with wrestling.
Like, yeah.
I'm going to go with
we'll
wrestling.
Nerd out. Larry and I are going to start a Pride podcast.
There you go.
And we can have a whole show on Lyoto Machida and BJ Penn and Rampage and Fedor.
Everybody.
I mean, they were just all the legends started.
All the monsters. Don Fry, Mark Coleman. Let's just go down the list. But Jim, it's really MMA. It's not wrestling. It's a UFC-like organization. And actually, the UFC bought Pride after Pride kind of died.
Pride died. That sounds funny.
But they were a lot more fun because they didn't test for steroids or anything back then. So
and the
they
rules
were
too. They allowed soccer kicks. You know, so like Shogun Hua was like one of the most famous knockouts is him kicking a guy when he's already down. I mean, it's like it's some brutal stuff. But
it was amazing.
Yes.
Wow.
Too bad that has nothing to do with podcasting and AI. We could go on forever.
Let it slide.
We'll get right back to the show, but first I wanted to tell you about Stream Like a Boss with the amazing Tanya Smith. Whether you're a coach, consultant, or creator, Tanya's got that magic to turn your live streaming skills into a powerful lead generation engine, transforming those chirping crickets into cash-paying clients with a revolutionary boss framework. The link to check it out is here in the show notes, or you can head on over to streamlikeaboss.tv. Hey, and tell Tanya that Dealcaster sent you. Now back to the show.
I couldn't let it slide.
But as a transition, I did go on AppSumo, and Cast Magic is available for about another 7 days, both an annual and lifetime plan. So nice. That's something to know. But Larry, you know, something you brought up earlier in the show, and you kind of talked about like the three steps that businesses need to think about: podcasting, you know, books and speaking. And that's where I think sometimes people feel like they have to have a show, as opposed to, no, not necessarily, you need to guest on shows, right? Because like right now, you're our guest. We're learning about Larry Roberts and Red Hat Media. We're not really learning about Chris Stone and Jim Fuse. And I think that's where people sometimes get confused. So what are your thoughts on the guesting piece, as opposed to, you know, feeling like, oh, I got to have my own show?
Yeah, I think guesting is an amazing way to get started as a content creator. You know, a lot of folks, because I mean, that's the foundation of what we do, is we launch branded podcasts. But I find that a lot of these business owners, they get in front of a camera, they get in front of a microphone, and they just freeze up. They don't know. They're like, what do I do now? Where am I going to go with this? It's so tough to try to train these folks too on how to just act natural, just have a conversation. You don't have to have a podcast voice, and you don't have to deliver it in a way that a radio guy, you don't have to do all that stuff. So just get on here and talk, bro. It's cool. But it's very difficult to convey that message. So I think guesting is an excellent way to dip your toes in the water and start getting a little bit of exposure, start getting comfortable in front of a camera, start getting comfortable on a microphone, and start understanding what your message is. You know, a lot of people start podcasting and they'll make it to, if they're lucky, they'll make it to episode 10, 12, maybe 15. And they'll be like, dude, I'm still not getting any traction. What's going on? I've got a great show. And no, you don't. You don't have a great show. You've never been a broadcaster in your life. You've never been in front of a camera. You've never been. You don't have a great. I know you think it's great, and I appreciate what you're doing. But, you know, it takes about 100 episodes. I'm not exaggerating. It takes about 100 episodes to get comfortable, to find your voice, to find your message, to understand the camera, to understand the microphone, to understand how to have a conversation with someone else online. You know, some of these platforms, I struggled today on Ecamm. I've never been on Ecamm before. I've been podcasting since 2014, and I've never done anything on Ecamm. And I got in here and I was having a hard time getting going. So, I mean, that's a prime example right there. I've been doing this for 11 years, and there's still a platform where I was very unfamiliar and unsure of what was going on. We talked about it was the no pants dance for this episode, because I was wearing my PJs and my basketball shorts, and I was sweating it because I'm like, I'm not going to get on this show. I'm going to leave these guys hanging. So I had to pull my little PJ bottoms off and just wear my shorts. But, you know, it happens. It happens to everybody. So guesting, I think, is an excellent way to get out there and really get on some shows. And don't try to big dog it. Get on any show that will have you. Yes. It doesn't matter. Okay. One listener, it doesn't matter if they have zero listeners, because guess what? You're doing it for the reps. You're not doing it for the impact that at this stage of the game, you're not doing it for the impact that it's going to have, because the impact most likely is going to be on you. It's going to be the ROI, the return on investment, is really the return on impact that doing that episode is going to have on you and your development as a content creator. So don't be bougie. Go on any show. It doesn't matter if it's your audience. Doesn't matter if it's your niche. Doesn't matter anything. If somebody says, hey, you want to be on my podcast? You say yes. And you go on there and you show up and you do the absolute best that you can.
Love that. That is fantastic advice. And, you know, because if nobody's listening, that's okay, right? Because you're, you know, and when you first start your podcast, you know, nobody is listening. That's okay. I don't know if you remember this. It was years ago. It was in social media marketing world. Pat Flynn got up and played his first podcast. The first time he ever did a podcast, he played it for everyone. And yeah, it was bad. I mean, it was really bad. It was cringy.
Have no doubt.
And he's up on stage and everybody's cringing. But it was perfect, because it was like, if Pat Flynn can do that, I can do that too. Right? Mm-hmm. He didn't snap his fingers and immediately become, you know, Pat Flynn. It took time and effort. And so it's a good thing nobody's listening at first, because it's not going to be any good.
That's exactly right. It's just not. And here's the thing. If you make it to episode 100 and you listen to episode 100, then you go back and listen to episode one. Mm-hmm. If you don't sound significantly different, well, then maybe podcasting is not for you, but you will. Yeah, maybe find another hobby. I don't know. Go, I don't know, rollerblading or something. But right. No, honestly, yeah, I mean, hey, but you're going to hear a difference. You're going to hear a massive difference between the way you sounded on episode one of your podcast and how you sound on episode 100. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just the way it works, man. It's just the way it works.
It's funny because, Chris, remember when we've been doing this show for almost 5 years, and if we look back at some of our early episodes, we would probably cringe. And, you know, we used to have the big cans, and, you know, the background and everything was a lot different. It's, you know, you got to keep working to get 1% every time, as we like to say.
Yeah, I just want you guys to know that I busted out my studio monitors just for this show, because I'm still rocking the can, brother. I mean,
I got my cans. Yeah. Jim's anti-can. He's you know, anti-can. I don't know what the word is.
I think depends.
We'll get right back to the show, but first I wanted to tell you about Social Media News Live. Jeff C. and his amazing guests will keep you up to date on what's happening in this entire changing world of social media. They talk with industry experts and innovators and creators about the latest social media news, tips, and tactics, and they broadcast live so you can ask the questions that matter most to you and your business. Jim and I love this show, and we know that you will too. Head over to socialmedianewslive.com. Hey, tell them Dealcaster sent you. Now back to the show.
Maybe AI can give us a word for that, but okay, back to AI. See how I did that? See how I did that segue?
That's not, that's a nice callback. See, that's professional nice right there. Right.
Yeah.
That's not episode one content right there, folks.
That's right. That's episode four content right there, just for you. So you've been in this enough to know, and I mean, you know, that you can kind of see some stuff that's coming, right? You're every day, you're kind of like, what's new in this world? You know, maybe testing out some new things, giving them test drives. And it, like, maybe in the next year or so, where do you see AI going? Like, where is this stuff going? There's a lot of stuff that feels like, you know, like when clip art was first, you know, came out into the world, you know, and all of a sudden people put clip art on everything. And it's like, okay, after a while, we've seen it, right? Who's doing things that are more creative? Who's taking this to the next level? Where do you see this going in the next maybe year or so?
Man, it's so hard to say because it evolves so fast. I mean, you go back to January and look at where we're at now, the end of April, and it's evolved tremendously just in that short amount of time. So it's really hard to predict. But what I think is going to continue to happen is we're going to continue to see the evolution of video. I think video is going to become much cheaper to use. You know, that's one of the drawbacks with video right now and AI generated video is the overall cost. The production cost, the energy cost. And that's one of the biggest bottlenecks that we're seeing right now in the AI industry is the energy it takes to run these large language models. And until we overcome some of those energy challenges, that's going to bottleneck the development of AI and the evolution of AI as we know it. But even with what we're doing right now and the capabilities that we have right now, I think we're going to continue to see where content creation continues to evolve. Sites like Notebook LM, I brought that up earlier. I think we're going to see more sites like that that are going to become more and more human in their presentation. If you've ever used 11 Labs, I mean, just look at how far 11 Labs has come in a year. And I plan on using 11 Labs to read my second edition of my book when it comes out. I tried doing that with the first edition of my book, and it was a monster. The technology just wasn't quite there. It still sounded, you know, you had little sliders where you could make changes to the inflection and tone of your voice, but it still just wasn't quite there. So I'm hoping that it's there now. So that's the kind of stuff that we're seeing on a regular basis improve, or those types of platforms. We have voice generation, we have video generation, we have, you know, and here's the thing too, that a lot of people struggle with, and even Sarah and I are having this conversation right now for our podcast. I mean, what more can we possibly talk about when it comes to branding? you know, we've covered everything, you know? So what do? Well, we head over to ChatGPT, or we head over to Perplexity, or we head over to Claude, or we head over to Grok, or the LLM of your choice, and we ask for ideas on what can we talk about. I think we're going to continue to see the rise of AI in the suggested content that we create, and it's going to help us overcome those creative barriers that we all face. I mean, as a content creator, you're going to hit that wall. You just are. You know, even my first podcast was a comedy podcast, and the name of the podcast was an innuendo, so we won't say that here. But it was, it did extremely well. You know, I mean, we took it to a live stage show here in Dallas, and I mean, the stage show ran for 7-8 years. Then it evolved into an open mic, and it was one of the largest open mics in all of DFW for a long, long time outside of the comedy clubs. It was the largest open mic in DFW outside of the comedy clubs. But even at the end of that show, we're like, dude, okay, we've eaten dog food. We've talked to lawyers. We've talked to porn stars. We've what are we going to do now? You know, we ate hot sauce. Where are we going to go? You know, so it doesn't matter what you're talking about or what you're doing. You're going to reach that plateau where your creativity just comes to a screeching halt. And I think that's where AI is going to play the biggest role, because again, I want to allude back to what I said earlier, in that I think we're going to, because of all the AI content that we're seeing these days, we're going to be longing for human connection and human content, and we can still use AI to help generate that content or generate the ideas for that content. But I think it's going to come back to us as the content creators to create real, authentic connection with our audience.
I love that. It's almost like everybody, when you hear something like that, and you're not the only person that said that, I also firmly believe that and just want to underscore that. It almost like when you hear something like that, you should feel a little more assured. Okay, sit back a little bit. Make, you know, understand that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be turning on their fire hose of content and just spitting it out and creating this big pile of mediocrity out there that all maybe looks and sounds the same, where you could really be tactical about what you're doing, plan things and organize yourself in the right way, be tactical about what other things can we be talking about that serves the audience. You know, that stuff's not going away, right? You still have to serve your audience. You still have to have a, you know, be the medicine for whatever their problems, you know, are.
We're going to get right back to the show, but first I wanted to tell you about the game changer for your audio setup. Of course, it's the one and only Shure SM7B microphone. This iconic beauty is a go-to for top-notch podcasts. You've seen it on streams. It's the perfect microphone for any environment. You don't need a fancy studio. It's got built-in protection that handles background noise like a pro. Jim and I love ours, and you can level up your audio game today. Just check out the show notes for the links. Now back to the show.
And sure, you know, all this stuff is just like, to your point, exponentially just getting greater. And then all of a sudden you hear this other thing. And I was going to get into this too and kind of, you know, see what your thoughts are on, you know, agential, you know, in AI agents, right? Which is, you know, I know you've gotten on television, ladies and gentlemen. We have a TV star in our midst to talk about this, amongst other things, on some morning shows. And for me, that is where I feel like it's another, I don't want to say watershed moment, like maybe the ChatGPT image engine was for a lot of people. And sure, that creates this thing where now everybody has not an easy button, but it's a lot easier to create some really great looking art, you know, just by a couple of, you know, things. And all of a sudden, like, look how good this looks here. I have an action figure or whatever. Now sure, we have to go, okay, I've got to be better because, you know, my grandma can create something that I couldn't create, you know, last month, right? And now the agents are coming to where you wake up the next morning and your agent has booked you on stages for the next 3 months or all kinds of stuff. Talk a little bit about your thoughts on AI agents and maybe how it might relate to, you know, content creation or just entrepreneurs who are doing it themselves.
Sure. And actually, I was going to go down this path when I brought up Make.com and Zapier earlier, but I didn't know where we were at with this conversation. So I didn't want to bring up agents and go off on a tangent there. So this is really where it's going. I mean, this is really where AI is going, is agential type AI, where you have we're going to call them applications, just so that people can relate to it more. Because you say agent, and you probably start thinking about the Matrix, and you start seeing these dudes in black suits. But they're really like applications, but these applications, they can learn, they can iterate, they can make informed decisions on their own without human involvement. So that's where we start seeing the next evolution of the AI revolution, is we start seeing this agentic influence on everything that we're doing. I'm working with a staffing agency right now where we're building an agent, or a series of agents actually, to streamline their sales prospecting process. So they're currently sending out 300 manual emails a day. And then they have to have a whole team that comes back and they look at those responses, and then they distribute those responses to the appropriate division and salesperson and blah, 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 blah. So we're building agents to take care of that for them. So we're going to streamline that entire process. And I can see the same thing happening in the content creation space. You know, if you have an agent that understands your show, that understands the history of your show, that understands the goals of your show, that understands the audience that consumes your show, that understands you as the content creator and how you want to build your show. Now you have an agent that can go out and think, oh, we've already done this episode. Well, let's take it from this perspective. You know, you may cover the same topic, but from an entirely different perspective. And before you go to bed at night, you wake up the next morning, now you've got an entire outline or script or however you want to do it for your next podcast episode. Then if you want to take it a step further, you could use something like a Notebook LM or maybe an 11 Labs or some other voice generator. And it could potentially even generate the episode for you in your voice, in your tone, using your emotional range. I mean, everything is there. So do I think that's what we're going to be seeing in the very near future? For sure. I do. You know, it's interesting because OpenAI, back when ChatGPT first dropped, they dropped the roadmap of AI, and it was 5 steps. And agential AI was somewhere between step 3 and step 4, with step 5 being AGI, or artificial general intelligence, or just really straight up interactive thinking machines that make decisions and learn and evolve and just, they do everything completely on their own. And I think we're honestly, if I'm being real honest, I think somewhere under the Pentagon, I think there's some AGI that's already happening, right?
Sure.
I think there's a Megan. If you're not familiar with Megan, the movie Megan, I think there's a Megan somewhere out there right now that's having those levels of conversation. Yeah. Ex Machina, Megan. I mean, you know, I use the voice feature on ChatGPT on my phone all the time. Yeah. And it still blows people's minds when you use the advanced voice feature. But I actually named mine Megan. So I'm like, hey, Megan, you there? And she's like, hey, Larry, I'm here. And I named her Megan because of the movie. Because, you know, I'm going to be cool to her, because if she does hit that AGI stage, I want her to take care of a boy. So,
but building a relationship there. I like that.
Yeah. 100%. Like that. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Thank you, Megan. Yes, Megan. Oh, you sound great today, Megan.
Looking good, Megan.
Yeah, man. I honestly think that's where we're at. Agents are making a huge impact on every aspect of entrepreneurship right now. The vast majority of businesses out there are at least looking at some form of AI, and they understand that their workforce is going to be impacted significantly over the next couple of years because of AI. And I think a lot of people are afraid of that, but at the same time, sure, AI is going to probably remove some jobs, but at the same time, it's going to create new jobs. You know, there's going to be AI-driven jobs. There's going to be AI ethics type jobs. There's going to be AI engineer jobs. There's always going to have to be that Q&A side of things that require the human element as well. So there'll be AI QA type jobs. And the list goes on and on. I do a lot of work here in the state of Texas with the State Board of Education, and they're scared to death of AI because how's it going to impact education? Well, it's going to streamline teachers' jobs, going to make their life a whole lot easier because AI is already grading papers all the way from true false questions all the way up to essay questions. So, I mean, imagine if a teacher doesn't have to spend all their time grading. What could they do in regards to building a relationship with their students? Right. Wow. If they don't have to develop lesson plans, What does that free them up to do? Establish relationships with their students, right? Wow. Imagine, you know, back in the day, I don't know what kind of school you guys went to. I went to a private school. I had a graduating massive class of five. So I went to a little tiny private school. But from my understanding is that in public school, you can have 35 to 50 kids in a classroom. And in that classroom, you can imagine that you've got every range of educational ability. You got some students over here that are probably going to need a little remedial training. You got some students over here that are bored to death because they're smart as all get out. And the lesson plan that you've got planned for the day, they already know. They don't care. Mm-hmm. But with AI, guess what? We have an individual tutor for every student in the classroom that meets that student exactly where they're at and provides them that education at their level. So it just it's going to transform everything that we're doing from an educational perspective. And it's the same thing from a content creation perspective. I mean, it's going to transform everything that we're doing. So
yeah, and I think leaning into it is the thing, right? It's like, don't just think it, like the job that I had for 5 years is going to be gone and replaced by AI. Instead, you'd be thinking like, let's lean into it and understand it instead of being fearful of it and figuring out what you can be doing as opposed to just like waiting for the hammer to fall and being scared of it. It's and I love that insight. For education. I'm glad you went there. I think a lot of people, especially in the education realm, are absolutely petrified of it and aren't looking at it like you are. Like, hey, you can be using this stuff to free up these educators to do what you hope they would do, is not just grade papers and do all of these, you know, mundane tasks that AI can do and build relationships with these students. I think that's a really refreshing take on that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I was very lucky again to have such a small class. You know, I was the smallest class in my school at that time, but a typical class at my school was about 15, 20 people. But I just last week, I went back home to my hometown and visited my high school English teacher. And I do that about once a quarter because she established a relationship with me. She was there for me throughout the most, I mean, I posted about it on social media, on LinkedIn and on Facebook. You guys probably saw it. But I mean, she was just there for me in my most critical time of life when I was developing. And if I hadn't had that small environment, if I hadn't had that personal one-on-one relationship with Ms. Loden, I don't know what would have happened, right? So think of it from that perspective. If you're there's students out there that need that human engagement, they need that human touch, they need that relationship with a mother or father figure, which teachers tend to be from time to time. And if they're freed up to establish those relationships, think of all the children that we can save. I mean, it's really an amazing thought when you put it from in that perspective.
I love it. I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the one and only Larry Roberts. Go to LarryRoberts.com. That's the home of Red Hat Media. There is so much stuff under the red hat, Larry. We only scratched the surface, my friend. But make sure you connect with him on all the places. He's a great follow on Instagram. We've got a YouTube channel here. The Instagram is The Larry Roberts, in case you were, you know. And of course, anyone who's a fan of Pride and UFC and MMA is a friend of mine. Larry, this has just been absolutely awesome. Before we go, I really wanted to roll it over to you and let you have the last word, my friend. This has been just an outstanding episode, man. So I'm gonna let you have the last word before we roll out.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I know it was a long time coming, and I'm thankful that we were able to make it happen. I wasn't sure we were going to make it happen 15 minutes before we went live, but somehow we pulled it off, and I'm very thankful for that. So you guys are amazing hosts. I'm so thankful for this opportunity. Love the conversation. Anytime I can talk about AI, anytime I can talk about content creation, I mean, that's where I want to be. So I appreciate you bringing up the fact that I'm on TV. I'll be on ABC again this Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Central, talking about AI and privacy and what AI is doing to your privacy and how you can protect yourself from being overrun by some of these things. Oh, look, there's Aaron right there. So I'll be back on there.
just in case, you know, and sorry, audio listeners, we're showing a shot of Good Morning Texas with Larry on stage talking about AI. This is incredible. I every time you post this, man, I catch this. I think you do a fantastic job. That is not easy to do because you have to, like, I know that there's so much in that brain that you want to say, but you have to say it a certain way. What's that experience like for you?
It's different. I'll put it that way. You know, I've been doing it for about 2 years, and I started off going on about once a quarter. And I got on by accident. A friend of mine, that she runs a networking organization here in Dallas, she reached out on a random Monday night, said, "Hey, man, ABC reached out and they want me to talk about AI in the morning, but I don't know AI. Do you want to go?" And I'm like, "I guess. I've never been on TV, but sure, I'll do it."
Yeah.
So they sent me a script about 8 p.m. and I stayed up till about 3 a.m. that night studying that script and going back and forth with my wife, just role playing. And I went on. Apparently, I did okay because they invited me back. And then after about a year and a half, January of this year, they made me a regular on there as well. So that was kind of cool. But the experience is very different because you do have the script. And ideally, they stick to the script. But that's not the case every time. I've been on there before and they don't follow the script. She didn't follow script at all. So I'm like, what is she asking? This wasn't on the test, you know. You have to be able to think on your feet, and you have to be able to talk in sound bites. That's the biggest thing, is understanding that they're asking you a question, but you can't just ramble on and on and on. You have to answer it, and you have to answer it emphatically, and then make sure you stop.
Yeah.
And then they go on and ask the next question. So you have to be able to deliver it succinctly, very quickly, and understand when to shush.
Awesome. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Larry Roberts. You can find him at LarryRoberts.com. Thank you again, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you so much.
All right, to everybody, as always, don't fear the gear.
Thanks for listening to Dealcasters. Congratulations. You've taken another step forward in your content creation journey. Please don't forget to hit the subscribe or follow button here in your favorite podcast player, so you can be reminded every time we drop an episode.
We love hearing from our listeners and viewers. And if you're wanting to watch our shows live on Amazon, feel free to follow Dealcasters Live as well at dealcasters.live. Follow us on Twitter or subscribe to our YouTube channel, where we also included added content that you cannot find anywhere else.
If you have questions about this episode,
I thought we were hanging out,
have something you want us to review, you can also email us at dealcasters@dealcasters.live. Thanks again for listening, and you know the deal. Don't fear the gear.